Good evening, everybody. It's certainly good to be back again this evening. We need to always remember that it's by the grace of our Heavenly Father that we're permitted to assemble, to come together to worship Him. It has been a beautiful day, and just seeing the changes in the day, I love this time of the year. You see sunshine, you hear thunder, you see lightning, you see the rain, you see the transformation in the nature, the trees, the flowers, the shrubs. You see God's power, and that power that we see in nature is just a shadow of that power that He has to transform our lives. And we want to look at some thoughts along those lines. Please open your Bibles to John chapter 5. I can guarantee you this evening this is going to be a wonderful sermon. It's going to be a wonderful sermon. So if you're taking notes, at the top of your page, write five wonderful things, because we're going to talk about some wonderful things, and there'll be, as I mentioned, 5 points. So let's begin in John chapter 5, and let's start at verse 20. Let's start at 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that He Himself does, and He will show Him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom He will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears My words and believes in Him who sent Me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself, and has given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of Myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is righteous, because I do not seek My own, but the will of the Father who sent Me." So this evening we are going to focus on verse 24. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears My word and believes in Him who sent Me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life." The first thing I would like us to consider, the first wonderful thing, is that it is a privilege, it's a wonderful privilege to hear the word of God. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears My word." That is a wonderful privilege that we have. Just think about it. God did not have to reveal Himself to us. He could have created the world. He could have not given us any written revelation. When we would have sinned, what would have happened to us? We would have been alienated from God. We would have been enemies of God. And we would be sentenced to eternal condemnation. But it is a privilege to hear the word of God. I don't think that we think about that enough. David said in Psalm 19:10, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." The word of God is better than gold. It's more valuable than gold. It's sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. I think probably a majority of people have a sweet tooth. And I always like to get a big bottle of honey, and we have a bottle of honey on our counter at home, and it's sweet. It is good. God's word far surpasses the sweetness of that honey. It's more valuable than gold. If somebody gave you a treasure map and they said, here's a map, there's $1 million in gold. If you follow this map and get it, it's attainable. Would you do it? Would you do it? I would. It's valuable. You could take that gold and do good with it. People will do all kinds of things. You know, you just think about that for a minute. Having a sure thing of $1 million, people will spend $2 million on lottery tickets, try gambling their money away, doing something that God is not pleased with just to get a little more money. But it is a privilege to hear the word of God. It is more to be desired than gold. Romans 1:16, Paul tells us, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. It's a wonderful privilege that we can hear God's word, because that is the power of God to salvation. It's in his word. Jesus said in John 15:3, you are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. It's a privilege to be cleaned by obedience by the word. Those words reveal to us what we need to do to be clean. We're cleaned, we are purified. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. All of these privileges come through the word. Again, back to Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. It's such a privilege to hear God's word. It's a wonderful privilege. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Just think about those words. If we are alive when Christ returns, we will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Isn't that a wonderful privilege that we can hear that? Just think again what the alternative is. It's a privilege to come and hear God's word. Sunday morning in the Bible class, Wednesday evening in the Bible class. And it will do no good. God's word will do no good until we study it and put it in our hearts. That's where the power takes place, is when we study it and we put it in our heart. I'm reading from the New King James Version, and it says, most assuredly. Other translations say, verily, verily, truly, truly. And this phrase, verily, verily, truly, truly, most assuredly, John repeats over 25 times in his gospel. He is stressing the point. Most assuredly, I say to you, Jesus is saying this in the letter that John recorded. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. And the emphasis here is laid on truth, that hearing Jesus and believing in God through the words of Jesus, what's that going to bring? It's going to bring us everlasting life. That is such a wonderful privilege that we are permitted to hear the word of God. Well, the second wonderful thing in this passage is a wonderful person, God in Jesus. So let's look again. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me. Okay, who sent him? God the Father sent God the Son. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. When we think about God and Jesus, And as we've been studying Ephesians, you just see how close and connected they are. And the prayer that we've looked at in chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And as I pointed out before, we ought to recognize God and Christ in that relationship. "Bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. He who hears my words and believes in him." Jesus and God are separate beings, but they are one. And God, both of them, God and Jesus, are beyond comprehension when we think about the height and depth and breadth of God's love. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." God became Jesus, the God in the flesh. He came because God so loved us. Jesus was willing to do that. It's hard to separate the two. Romans 5:8-9, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." So God the Father demonstrated his own love toward us in his Son, God in the flesh, coming down and shedding his blood so that we would be spared from the wrath. That's a wonderful person, God in Jesus. God in Jesus. He left heaven and came down here to show us and to teach us what we need to do. Romans 8:32, "He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" You just stop and think about how wonderful God is, how wonderful Jesus is. How far does God's love and his grace reach? How far does it reach? It reached all the way from heaven, all the way down to save Bruce Hastings from his sins. It reached all the way from heaven, all the way down here, to save everyone here from their sins so that we could be spared from his wrath. God's love throughout the Bible is expressed over and over and over and over. Even as we've been going through the Old Testament and seeing where his wrath is displayed on those that do not obey him, we see his love and his blessings abundantly given to people who obey him. Over and over, his love is expressed. And our praise for him, our praise for this wonderful Father, this wonderful Son, our praise should be on our lips all the time for what he has done. Every breath we take, every drop of water we drink, every ounce of energy, of fiber that we have in our bodies, it all comes from God. It all comes from God. Let's, in Ephesians, turn back to chapter 1. And again, we just see that relationship of God in Christ. We'll start at verse 19. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So he, God, put all things under his feet, Jesus, gave him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the body of Christ, the fullness of him, God, who fills all in all. Christ and Jesus, they're just like that. It's a wonderful person, God in Jesus. In the Old Testament, we see God the Father. We see, again, as I said, God revealed as the Father. We see more of his wrath, his side of justice. When we get to the New Testament, we see God the Son revealed. We see his love. Jesus Christ, what a wonderful person. God in the flesh, where we see God manifested in the Son. So we've got a wonderful privilege to hear the Word of God. We have a wonderful person, God in Jesus. The third point is we have a wonderful possession. Let's look at the verse again. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. That's a wonderful possession that we have. Jesus said in John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now, we've talked about this at other times where everlasting life, salvation is mentioned as we have it now and it's in the future. So John 3:36, here's another verse that shows we have it. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. If you turn over to John 6 and start at verse 53, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, truly, truly, verily, verily, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. What's he talking about? He's talking about the communion. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Again, here it's spoken of has eternal life in the present sense. If we go to Mark chapter 10, we'll see it mentioned in the future tense. Mark chapter 10 and beginning at verse 29. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or fathers or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers, children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come, eternal life. So we see eternal life is something we possess it now. We have the promise of it for in the future. It's as I used the illustration before. If we're going to some event and we have a ticket to be in this event, we've got that spot. We've got that spot. It's guaranteed. It's reserved. Now, there may be something that comes up where we lose that spot, but we have that spot reserved for us for that day. Let's turn to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of God, or a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life. So here it's shown in the future, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So here we see we have this everlasting life, and again, what a wonderful possession. How do we have this? It's so guaranteed. It is spoken of as if we already possess it. Just as we've studied in Joshua 6 and 2, the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor." And then he tells him what to do to take it. But God speaks of, "I've already given you Jericho. It's yours." And then they had to go and take it. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and 8, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." There's a crown of life, a crown of righteousness laid up for Paul, and not only for Paul, but for all of us, to all who loved his appearing. There's laid up a crown of righteousness for us. That's a wonderful possession, everlasting life. So, it's a wonderful possession, it's valuable. What do you do with your physical possessions that are valuable? What do you do with them? What do you do with them? You want to safeguard them. You want to protect them so that nobody's going to come along and steal them, destroy them, do something to them. We safeguard our valuable protections, our possessions. This is a wonderful possession we have, everlasting life. We should not take it for granted. We need to safeguard it. We need to protect it by studying God's Word, by spending much time in His Word, by prayer, by being busy doing what God has told us to do, and then we too can have that crown of righteousness waiting for us. Well, another wonderful thing that we see in this verse, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who has sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." We have a wonderful promise. We are promised that we shall not come into judgment. A couple of things, a couple of thoughts on this. This judgment. We are going, all of us, every one of us here, are going to stand before God one day. We may not like to think about that, but just as sure as we are breathing and sitting here, one day we are going to be standing before God Almighty. This says that we shall not come in to judgment. Now, we have to take that along with the other scriptures and realize that this is conditional. We have to follow the plan of salvation. We have to follow the law of pardon. We have to hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. We have to live faithfully, or we will come in to judgment. Because he said in the same verse, "He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. We have to be obedient to that. We have examples of people who did not keep doing that. In 1 Timothy 1:18, he talks about two people, Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Some in 2 Timothy taught that the resurrection had passed. Another condition in John 15:2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. We cannot quit bearing fruit, or we will come into judgment. If we stop bearing fruit, we will face the wrath of God. 1 Peter 1:5 says that we are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. How are we kept? We're kept by the power of God through faith. Well, how do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So we have this wonderful promise that we shall not come into judgment. So do you believe that? Do you believe it? Are you saved? If you were to die, fall over dead right now, do you know, would you be going to heaven or to hell? Do you have any doubts? Do you have any doubts? Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. Do you wonder? Well, I don't know. I don't know if I've heard Christians talk that way. I don't know if I would make it to heaven or if I would go to hell. Do we have confidence in this wonderful promise that God has given us? What did we read in Titus 1:2? God who cannot what? Lie. If we do our part, we meet all the conditions, God's going to do his part. And we don't have to wonder about this wonderful promise that he has given to us. The problem is, some people don't do their part, and then, yes, they do have to fear facing the wrath of God. But he's forewarned us. He's told us what to do. He showed us what to do. He sent his son to show us what to do. And this is a wonderful promise that we shall not come into judgment. Again, you talk to some Christians, I think, I've heard some people in denominations that I know are not going to make it to heaven have more confidence that they're going to heaven than some people in the brotherhood. Some people have more confidence in State Farm or Nationwide or some insurance contract than they do in the Word of God. And that's silly. Some people have more confidence in their earthly father than in their heavenly father. This is a wonderful promise that he has given us. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come in to judgment, but is passed from death into life. So can we get into heaven with sin? I don't believe so, but he's saying here, who hears my word and believes in him who sent me. This is an ongoing, continuous action. We live faithfully. We keep on hearing. We keep on reading. We keep on believing. We keep on doing. We do that, and this is a wonderful promise, because we shall not come in to judgment. Well, the last wonderful thing to look at in this verse, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. We have a wonderful passage, from death into life. And we can look at this two different ways. One of them, it's a wonderful passage from spiritual death into spiritual life. And again, that's what we've been trying to look at in Ephesians. And just like we looked at Wednesday night in chapter 4, the contrast of the old man and the new man, to go from lying to speaking the truth, from not sinning to being angry but resolving the anger in the same day, to go from stealing to someone laboring with their hands, not only to provide for themselves but to give to others in need, to go to pass from corrupt words to words for edification that impart grace to the hearers, to go from grieving the Holy Spirit to submitting to the Holy Spirit, passing from putting away bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice, to being kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as Christ forgave you. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power to change a man from that old man, to pass from that death of the old man to the life of the new man. We also see this, though, in another sense, eternal sense. Well, we've got that changing from the old man to the new man. We see in Ezekiel 18:20, the soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall not be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. We are going to be responsible for our own sins when we pass from this life into death. In Ephesians 2:1, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Again, that passage from death unto life. But the other wonderful passage that fits in with this is when we pass from physical death here into eternal life. And that's going to be a wonderful passage. And if we are a Christian, it will be wonderful. It will be wonderful. It's not going to be like people in the world. As a Christian, we should not be scared of death. We should not be scared of death at all. I like asking questions. I know you aren't going to answer them, but I like asking questions. Have any of you here ever seen an angel? Have any of you ever here seen an angel? Are any of you going to see an angel? When we read about Lazarus and the rich man, and when Lazarus died, what does it say? He was carried, not by one angel, he was escorted by angels to Abraham's bosom. That's a wonderful passage. You know, when I think about that compared to everything that's going on in the world, why would I want to stay here? The world is just full of sin. I mean, God wants us here because we're to let our light shine. We are to do everything that we can to save the lost. That's our mission here. But when our time here is done, we do not have to fear death at all. It's going to be a wonderful passage. If we are faithful, we've got that promise, and he is going to carry us to Abraham's bosom as we await for the judgment. Some wonderful things here in John chapter 5 and verse 24. A wonderful privilege to hear the word of God. The wonderful person of God in Jesus. Wonderful possession, everlasting life. A wonderful promise that we shall not come into judgment. And a wonderful passage to pass from death into life. The only thing that I can think of to add to this that would be wonderful for today is if somebody wanted to make their life right with God. Whether you're outside the body of Christ or you're a Christian and you've got sin in your life, it would be wonderful that you would realize the condition that you're in and that you don't have a hope of these wonderful things that we've talked about. You need to change your life. You need to believe and obey, and then all of these things, when we carry them out, are guaranteed for us. If there's anybody here this evening that needs to obey the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.